this 20 years ago, this is when Facebook was emerging. I had a brick like mobile phone in my pocket that I could just about get on the internet. I had a terrible camera. Social media, Twitter was around at the time, just emerging. I saw that in the same space of time as I started university and did some stint as a town planner. I saw that whole technology field emerge and rapidly grow and change and expand. I realized that's where the action was happening. And I developed this deep passion for technology. And so I kind of jumped ship at that point, learned to code, and then ultimately I brought the two worlds together. By unlocking this information, we unlock unforeseen, currently hard to imagine opportunities for not just how the industry works right now, but how the industry could work in a much more efficient way. You can see an opportunity. You hit a button on your phone and you've got everything you need to know about that opportunity to decide if you want to take action on it or if not.
Today, we are diving into the intersection of planning, property, and powerful data with someone who's redefining how deals get done. Johnny Britton started as a town planner, became a software developer, and then co-founded Land Tech, a platform that's making the land market more transparent and accessible for developers of all sizes. From the UK to North America, his journey is full of lessons for anyone looking to navigate or transform the real estate world. Before we jump in, if you're learning something new or feel more confident about your development journey, thanks to this show, do me a quick favor. Hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening and leave a quick 5-star review. It helps more emerging developers discover this content and grow with us. Johnny, welcome to Land to Legacy.
Good to be here, Eugene. Thank you.
Thank you. Hopefully I did not butcher that introduction. Is there anything else you would like to add about your journey and what brought you here?
You got it broadly right. And you hit on the key point, which is about the opening up of the land market. It is currently opaque. It's hard to navigate. It's an unnecessary challenge when we all need to build more properties and get more homes built. And our purpose really is to enable as much of that as possible. We go and get all the hard to access data sets that other people can shy away from. We get in the weeds, we get it, and we make it easy to access and fast so that it can become powerful when looking for opportunities, assessing opportunities, and then taking action on those opportunities. So that's kind of the essence of what we do. And we wrap that in tons of services that make life easier for our users. But really, there's a strong purpose behind what we're doing. And we believe that by unlocking this information, we unlock unforeseen, currently hard to imagine opportunities for not just how the industry works right now, but how the industry could work in a much more efficient way. And that's by making a much more open and accessible land market for many more people.
So before we dive into the details of your tech, what first drew you to town planning? How did that even happen? I've worked with city planners, town planners for many years, and I always wonder, how does one end up there?
I think there's a hidden meaning behind that, because they're kind of a funny bunch. I'm allowed to say that. And I studied at university, in Manchester University, and they were kind of funny bunch. But I got out and so I've seen this firsthand, and I've got a lot of friends who are on that course and they won't mind me referring them to them like that. But a lot of people get into it in the first place, including myself, because it really feels like you have the opportunity to shape places for the better. And that's the nuts and bolts of it. There's communities there. There are economics that drive a place. There's a bunch of history that needs to be considered. And the ideal job of a planner is to be able to put the right processes, systems, frameworks, incentives in place to drive better outcomes for everybody who is in an area. Shaping the future of communities and how a place works, it's fascinating. You know, I have a fascination with history and with the urban environment. And so for me, it sounded like a dream job, but when the rubber hits the road, it's very different. These systems that have evolved over time have just become complicated, and there's addendums and changes that have move problems from one area to another that make the system really hard to navigate. It becomes like a Frankenstein's monster of badly formed policies working together. And it's very slow and cumbersome and hard to create change. So although it's a fascinating role and it could be better in the future, it's not working in it was far more, wasn't the same as what I imagined it would be. I studied town planning and did the master's degree at Manchester, then went to work as a town planner, and I found myself submitting permit applications for some very bog standard things that were not interesting at all. We were talking 20 years ago now, so I could have developed the career further, but I was applying for large enterprises who were just rolling out enterprise scale nationwide plans, and it was really boring and it was really hard. Even for small things, you'd find big objections. And I realized the slow pace of it. And quasi-legal nature of it, which is very much in the box and not very creative, wasn't really for me. This 20 years ago, this is when Facebook was emerging. I had a brick-like mobile phone in my pocket that could just about get on the internet. I had a terrible camera. Social media, Twitter was around at the time, just emerging. I saw that in the same space of time as I started university and did a stint as a town planner. I saw that whole technology field emerge and rapidly grow and change and expand. I realized that's where the action was happening. And I developed this deep passion for technology. And so I kind of jumped ship at that point, learned to code, and then ultimately I brought the two worlds together.
Can you think of maybe a specific point when you realized that gap between planning and the old-fashioned way of doing this and what tech could do to this industry?
Yeah. There was a site I was working on in a place called Doncaster, and I was a junior planner. I barely knew what I was doing. And that's the reality of it. I was never a very good town planner either. I'll hold my hands up and say that. But I was getting charged out by the hour at a very high rate. And all I was doing was going in to the council websites and identifying the most up-to-date planning documents. And then I was putting them into a Word document, which just said, you know, this is the priority document. This is the secondary document. There's an emerging document that needs to be considered. It was really hard to do that. It sounds easy, but you had to know where to look. You had to know what the right documents were. You had to understand the status of them. But ultimately, it was just finding a few documents and then writing it down. And that was, you know, I needed a degree. I needed to know where to look. I needed how to interpret this information. It became very clear to me that this was data management, and through the better data processing that could be automated, and there was value in that. And so although I worked in the private sector doing this for private sector clients, my co-founder, he was a wannabe self-builder. So the problem that you have there is even amplified even more. You're doing things not commercially, you're doing things to find a plot of land to live on. And he was looking around East London at the time, couldn't afford to buy a property because he couldn't afford it. I couldn't save up enough money for a deposit. He was a highly paid software engineer. He realized that he could build his own properties. He could work out how to get the materials to build it, how to get the fittings for your kitchen, how to put he could build it, but he couldn't work out where to put it. And so he started asking these very beautifully naive questions, which were, okay, there's a derelict site across the road. Maybe I could buy that site and put it on there. And who owns that site? Actually, you know, I can buy the title document, but who really owns that site? It's, you know, it's not the person who's on this title document. There's a company behind it. And what can I put on that site? Wait a minute, we're in a housing crisis. Why aren't there a load of flats being built or apartments being built on that site just there? You could do more than just one house. How do I figure out what you could put on there? And if it's so hard for me to build, is this the reason why not more is being built and there is a crisis? So he kind of came at it from that point of view. I came at it from the private sector point of view, how inefficient it was. And that's when we put our minds together. We were introduced via a tweet at the time. We literally found each other over Twitter, and then 2 weeks later we set up a business together. So there was kind of many points along the journey that have been like serendipitous and just almost like it was meant to be, but lots of realization.
So you've never owned a business before, your partner's never owned a business before, and here you are starting a new company, a tech startup.
I mean, technically I've had some shares in the company before, but yeah, we just saw the opportunity and went at it.
Hey, nice. I commend you for doing that. It's not everybody has that courage to start something new. How did, if you don't mind me asking, how did you finance the early operations?
We were accepted onto an accelerator program and got a loan just to pay for some day-to-day operations. But as soon as we realized we had an opportunity, this wasn't a trivial business to build. You know, we're talking about taking 12 million documents from planning systems and extracting information, matching it up with polygons from all these PDFs. It's a big job. So we needed a team. And based on, you fall into this chicken and the egg situation where you don't have a product or any customers, but you need to raise the money. And to raise money, you need to have some product and customers. And you have to navigate that as best as you can, which is half art and half science. There's a process to do it, which you get demonstrate as much interest as possible. Like if this company built this, you get people who are ready to pay for it. And, you know, some of those are your friends and some of them are real desperately people who need the service. And you try and fill investors with as much confidence as possible that you can deliver on it. So we managed to attract a property technology fund who understood the problem space well and some people from the industry. There's a big house builder in the UK called Barrett Homes. This guy was the head of land at Barrett Homes. And so he understood what I'm trying to do and really believed in it. And that appealed to the rest of the investors following.
Yeah, it's unlike fundraising for a development project. You have a vision, some sort of math behind it, but you really don't have any customers. You hope that you will have customers and you don't really have a product because you still need to build a product. So it's very similar in that regard. You need to go out to these investors, retail individual investors or funds or family offices, and you have to convince them that you can deliver this product and this product is going to be in demand when you're done.
Yeah. And
it's a very similar process.
And without a track record, you often have to give away a bit more than you'd like to in the beginning. But if you find the right partners, it's well worth it for the long run.
Absolutely. Exactly. So you said that the land market is, and the legal side, the codes, the ownership structure is opaque, hard to find information. For our newer developers, why is it so? What makes it so complicated?
Kind of what I said before, multiple systems that were suitable at the time that have not really had the right incentives to change or update it in a way that can really tackle the problem. And so it ends up being lots of small changes that just shift problems around, which is a bit of an abstract statement. But if we take zoning, for example, the need for zoning and zoning ordinance was created back in, you know, hundred years ago or so. And it was done on paper. And at the time, it was not built for the system that we have today. There were lots of political interests in it, and how it was done wasn't as transparent and as fair process as it is today. And that's the system that got built upon. So over time, information got digitized. But the digitization wasn't necessarily to help developers find the right opportunities. It was done for city building and for the interests of the politicians. And so there was a track being done, and more people were involved and more vested interests and ways of doing things and systems created became a juggernaut, like a real tanker of a ship that's just really hard to change the track of. And it's not really anyone's at fault for this, but to rethink it would have to be done potentially even at a federal level, which never going to happen. Or it's hard to imagine it happening. You see the likes of some California, and I've forgotten the name of which of the other states have done some radical things. And you need some radical thinking to really make a change happen. But that anything like that has a massive consequence in so many other areas. It becomes a political hot potato. And so it's a really challenging way of running the land, really, and how a place develops. You can kind of map out how it got here, but how to think about how to change it is really difficult, because you don't want to just kind of digitize the analog processes now and have the same kind of governance frameworks blood running through the system is now digital rather than analog. In a digital world, it creates so many new ways of doing things. Like, you kind of want to change the system, but then who's responsible? It's a big, messy job that needs some real leadership.
So help me understand, what is your ideal solution? Is your ideal solution to work with whatever systems municipalities use and then help developers to work with those systems by aggregating information together using LandTech? Or are you trying to convert the municipalities to use a more unified system so the process is more streamlined? And the reason I ask is many municipalities that I work with, they already have some sort of a digital platform for plan reviews and for applications and, you know, comments, feedback. They have various degrees of definitely better than submitting paper plans to the city and wait for them to review it by hand. Definitely uploading digital files and then downloading approved plans helps a lot. But so tell me a little bit more about what your ideal solution would be.
Yeah, well, I would say that within 10 years or so, things will be radically different. But at the minute, there's companies like ourselves and others chipping away at kind of taking the information from the belly of the beast and making it easy to access. And we're certainly doing that. We view ourselves as a way to get to the hard information fast. We're talking about, yeah, the zoning, the development standards, you know, the ordinance, you know, planning applications, ERP, you know, there's a ton of useful and information just to display to add value. If our clients have got this information quickly, they can become a local expert in the places that are new to them, understand how things are changing, what the competitors might be doing. They can link out in site plans and see what's happening, what's getting approved, what's being considered, the status of sites. That's real, real value for now. How I see things moving and where I want to take the business and how I want to open up the land market is more kind of the reason I would like to rethink how things are done. I think there's, you know, that kind of messy system that I was talking about before. I think that it kind of just needs that rethink, because digital, and especially with the world of AI coming up as fast, we're just generations ahead of where the current system is. And the value creation is not just in making things a bit faster or more efficient. It's about helping more people understand how places are going to change and then getting them more involved in the process so that development can be done in a more collaborative way with communities, not done to communities. The NIMBYs are engaged with and brought on side before they can really start to cause problems. That's done through them having access to information and developers being able to be sympathetic for the needs of what people want in an area so they feel listened to. I feel like digital can really recreate the reasons why we've got all these systems in place, but do them in a completely different way.
So let's take it to a little more practical application today. So for somebody just getting into site sourcing or trying to develop their first deal, we work a lot with owners who would like to develop their sites. How can a platform like LandTech help them get started?
Our customers generally are looking for lots of sites. We don't particularly work with owners who've got a site already. We've got hundreds of customers in the UK. The use case that we're really starting with is people who want to find more opportunities. And so that generally means running an outbound off-market sourcing campaign and or receiving sites from brokers and assessing them quickly. They're the main use cases that we're targeting at the moment. We can help build up a pipeline of sites that match the criteria you would be looking for. For example, you might want to look for vacant sites in Miami-Dade with a future land use that is resi in the future land use plan. That could be 10 acres. And you could just say, show me the sites up the criteria, and all of the opportunities would emerge. It could be looking for sites that are zoned for multifamily across different jurisdictions, so different cities with got different ordinance. You could look at that at a Florida-wide level and find masses of opportunities for you to then start working through and not need to kind of, it allows you to expand your areas that you're looking at, because you can get really good land and property information quickly so that you don't have to become an expert in that area before you can understand this. You can be driving around, you can see an opportunity you hit a button on your phone and you've got everything you need to know about that opportunity to decide if you want to take action on it or if not. And a lot of the times, you'll know this, there's a reason why the site doesn't stack up, it doesn't pencil. You want to know that as quickly as possible. We give you that information fast so that you can rule it out or save it for later. Over time, things change and you get alerts and information updates. The values of an area might change and suddenly you can review that site again in light of the change of circumstances and save hours on recreating the research. There's a lot of different functionality that allows you to do things, but really it's for people who want to build that pipeline of opportunities and filter the best sites. When you find those needles in the haystack, you can focus on building the relationship with the owners.
Okay, so if I'm looking for a new site to develop, I log into LandTech tool and I'm able to scan. So if I want to build a 200-unit apartment building and I need a site of at least 25,000, 30,000 square feet, I enter those parameters, enter the geography, and it will give me all of the possible sites that would fit my criteria.
Clearly. Yeah, exactly. You might want, you know, less than 20% in a flood. You might want to be a site that's, you know, not big enough, but it's next to a site that also you could combine together. So you could type in natural language what you're looking for, and it would provide you with a list of filters that you could then tweak or do searches on and then go back and tweak and iterate on. So you have a lot of kind of power in finding the right opportunities.
Okay, I see. And then it would give me contact information of the current owner?
It gives you a cursory search, and then there's a deeper search that you can do through our platform as well, yes.
Okay. What type of information does it have? Name, phone number, address, emails?
Yeah, exactly that. So we'll do the skip tracing component in there so you can search for beyond the kind of information you get at the city level and dig out more about who the owner is.
Right. Well, because I was going to say, usually if I need to find who owns the site, I would go on something like a parcel viewer, which most counties have. I would look up owner information. If it's a physical person, it would typically tell me who the property taxpayer is and what their name and address are. If it happens to be a business entity, then my next step would be to go into a Secretary of State website and look up who the owners of that LLC or corporation are. And usually I would either have be able to like Google or find their contact information somehow, or maybe I'm stuck at just having their address. And the best I can do is send them a physical letter. I'm assuming with LandTech, this process is simplified.
Imagine you've been scrolling around, you found a couple of hundred sites, you've shortlisted it down to 25 sites. You can then instantly skip trace all of those sites. You get a ton of contact information. Sometimes it's emails, sometimes it is only addresses. That process you've just outlined has been done by our partner. And what we've done is integrated a letter sending functionality as well. You can, within a couple of clicks, send one of your initial templates to 25 targeted owners of high value properties you've identified.
Okay, so you would help me actually send the letters out. Is it electronic letters or is it actual physical letters?
Yeah, we can help you send the physical letters.
Okay, interesting. Is this some sort of an AI algorithm that does the work on the back end, or? It seems like everything's AI these days, but how do you do it?
It's a good question because every site's different and you want to personalize the outreach specifically to the site in question. We are working on making that a truly magical experience. It's kind of just bringing together your CRM with public information and all the data that we have to streamline that process into a faster and easier way of doing it. But I do think there's ways and that we are working on ways to improve it as well using AI.
Are you available everywhere in the United States or North America, or are you only working with certain regions for now?
Well, right now, we are only in Florida, and we've got a big head of steam now. We've got a number of the top 10 home builders on board as clients, and now we're looking to roll out nationwide, and a lot of our clients are moving to the Carolinas and Georgia, so we're thinking about those as next states, but there's a ton of places that we could get to. And the key question is when, which order, and how big and fast do we go at this? And that's really the questions we're asking at the moment.
So what is the challenge that you're facing when you're migrating from one state to another or from one country to another? Like, for example, how does Florida compare to the UK?
I don't think you want to see me break down and cry Yeah, Eugene.
It's hard.
There's a lot of differences, you know, with all of your best intentions and hard work up front, you miss a lot. And so, I mean, the problem that we're solving is there's a lack of information, the hard information to get out, it's hard to access. We're solving that problem. The problem's the same, but what those data sets are, the value of those data sets, the maturity of the markets and how people operate, they're all very different. And so, you know, it's taken longer than we expected to pick up the traction that we're now getting. The markets have not been the best, really, especially in the UK. It's been challenging to balance your resources in entering a new market and having to grow in your domestic market while the heat's come out of it. These are really kind of hard to navigate issues and where to place your investments, whether you attack or defend or cut costs or invest. That's been the last few years. And it feels like we've finally got there, but it's certainly been a rough.
Can you share a story, Johnny, of how Landtech helped a developer push through to a new project or uncover new possibilities, streamline the process?
Yeah, I mean, we've got countless case studies. If people, probably more than I'll give them now, that I would suggest going to our website, different types. I've seen, even just the other day, someone told me the new tool that we've implemented to use AI to search through and create the narrative for the permits. That's taken what was a 3-hour job into a 15-minute job. Yeah, and that's just a new thing we've added. I've heard about people who were working for a larger developer with institutional capital, you know, working on interesting projects in a very slow time frame, spin out and create their own 50-person team on the back of being able to use our software to move fast and hire the people to use it. I've heard of large companies doing regeneration projects and finding communities and helping them relocate them, which would otherwise have taken months, and they've done it super quickly. I've just got countless stories here. The main value that I talked about before about the prospecting is that if you want to commit to finding your own off-market sites and optimizing them for the value that they have, not just even what they're zoned for, but looking at the rezoning opportunity, the upzoning, getting the information you need to look at a couple of hundred sites or 100 sites with a view to those higher margin opportunities, you can do that now, and you can do that in a week or two. But that otherwise would have taken a year, you know, it just would have been incredibly almost unfeasible to do. We would have had to employ someone to do it. Now it can be done. There's a lot of stories of people finding, even on a trial, a site that then could become a deal because they've used it in the way in the real value is there for.
A question that I ask most of my guests is to tell me and the listeners about the worst mistake that you've made in your professional career, or maybe while building Landtech, or perhaps that some of the users that you've worked with faced. What would it be, and what did that experience teach you?
Sorry, I'm trying to think of a good one here. There'd be many mistakes made over the years. I think probably a relevant one is that, I don't know if this counts, it wasn't me who made the mistake, but one of our customer support representatives accidentally shared some data with one client, and it belonged to a different client. And we learned through that time period that we didn't have enough data security in place, and our clients were trusting us, and we needed to do more to deliver the service that they would expect if they're going to put their faith in us. But, you know, we panicked at that point, and internally we were having this discussion with legal advice, how we should react to it. And everything was happening inside of our office, so to speak, and it's just increasing the pressure on it. Somebody was set up a call with a customer, and we followed the process. We explained what had happened, what we're going to do about it, and they were really okay with it. And I think the lesson there is that you have to be speaking to your customers. You should not be trying to make important decisions without them, and you just don't know what they're going to say, and you don't know, they can surprise you in many ways. And that's a lesson I've learned many, many times about the product that you're building. Speak to the customers because they know best.
Speak to your customers. And I think I would even expand that. Speak to your team. Communication is key, whether it's your customer, supplier, contractor. even the city, municipality that you're working with, there are always challenges, there are always issues, things come up, and only open communication can help you resolve them. If you're trying to internalize it and cover things up, they escalate, blow up, and result in a worse outcome than if you just put it out on the table and try to solve the problem.
I couldn't agree more. I think one of our values originally was open, and that served us so well, because when you authentically try and communicate and demonstrate that you don't know all the answers, you want to work with people to help get there, you get their buy-in and you demonstrate that you're someone who they can work with, and they also feel empowered to help shape your business. And it really does create that human relationship that is really important.
Absolutely. If you could give your younger self, just starting out in planning and coding, one cheat code for understanding land and development faster, what would it be?
I think there's two important ways of thinking about land development, and that is, how's the market performing and what is the development potential of a site itself? And if you've got the confidence that the site can perform and the market's robust, you know, it's a really fantastic asset class to be investing into. Get to know the markets and get to know what really can turn the dial on those sites. A good site in a good market that has a really upside, you can navigate around most of the challenges.
With a good site and a good market, you can navigate most of the challenges. Thank you very much, Johnny. I do appreciate your time, and sorry for the difficult questions. I think your answers are wonderful. It's going to be very useful to the listeners.
I hope it helps some people.
Thank you. And if this conversation gave you new clarity or tools to move forward in your development journey, the best way to say thanks is to subscribe and leave a great review. That helps more people like you find the show and join the conversation. Thanks for being part of Real Estate Development Land to Legacy. Johnny Britton's contact information is available in show notes. Please do check out Land Tech. It's a great tool. Real estate development, land to legacy.